This is IA Forward, your playbook for success as an independent insurance agent. Here to help you knock it out of the ballpark are your hosts, Shane Tatum and Tanya Lead.
Welcome to IA Forward. Shane, let's talk technology today, but not technology that we necessarily think about using in our agencies, but more technology that is evolving in our industry to help make our industry as a whole more successful.
So this kind of feels like one of those areas where we have a really good chance of messing it up.
The idea for this podcast started out with an article that I read recently on 1440 talking about people were getting upset as they're finding out that vehicles that are Wi-Fi enabled are selling information to LexisNexis and or selling information to insurance companies. I saw this pop up in my morning news there. And then the next day I saw it pop up. Maybe it was in Morning Brew, but people are getting upset about it. There are lawsuits that are starting to be filed out on the West Coast regarding privacy. Let's start there.
We could really start to take this way back to probably 20 years ago and the question of insurance scoring, credit scoring, the quote analytics black box that things started with. And then you sent me an article on IoT, the Internet of Things, which is really interesting because it's a little less of an article and more of a sales slick infographic kind of thing of why we should be doing this and using this. And I love IoT as a topic because it was cool and really awesome. And it was the superstar until AI showed up. And some of IoT is blurred with AI. And the reality of it is that if you go back and look at AI, it's been around for longer than we realize. There's a lot of things that we've been using technology to do and communicate and collect and store for a very long time. What's really ironic is that it's not new, even though maybe it's getting lawsuit attention or it's getting people upset, but it's just not that new. We've been talking about IoT for well over a decade and a half. We've been talking about pay for use driving for a long time. We've been definitely talking about the black box of analytics and credit scoring and what makes a risk a better risk and what makes a risk a worse risk. We are, as an industry, the data hogs of the world. I would even argue, my banking friends may disagree, but I would argue that we are more data oriented than even other financial services sector industries today. The question is it helping us? We're dealing with some of the worst performing loss ratios in history over the last few years. This idea that it's going to help us get ahead of things, it's going to help us price to the risk better, it's going to help us do all these things because now we're going to have all this data. And sometimes I just don't know if we really understand what we're getting ourselves into.
The articles that I'm seeing are coming out of a New York Times report that is saying that General Motors, Honda, Kia, Hyundai, that if you have an internet-connected vehicle, that people are saying yes, not reading the fine print, that car makers can have permission to collect this data. And then they're selling it to LexisNexis, and now drivers are seeing their insurance rates are quote-unquote being doubled due to their LexisNexis report. And who is responsible for reading the fine print? Now, ultimately, is it really being doubled due to their LexisNexis report, or is that just a perception? But when articles like this are floating around and are becoming more and more common as things spread, as they do in the media when it comes to insurance to make us look unfortunate. So is perception reality? Is it really that their car is reporting their hard braking and their speeding and all of those things that we probably shouldn't be doing anyway? But is it that the media is using that to say, yes, this is why your car insurance rates are going up when really and truly other things are going on in the world too?
Let's not get lost on the fact that the media is selling advertising in newspapers and subscriptions.
Oh my gosh, you sound like me.
Let's just not forget this.
I'm so proud you had a Tanya moment. I'm so proud.
Asterisk number one is let's just remember the source of the article, not that I'm saying it's quote fake news. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying understand the source of the article. Bias is tough today. You like to think that journalism is not dead. You like to think that journalism is extremely objective. But let's also remember the source of where the article comes from, and let's have that perspective. And I'm all for debate around multiple topics, multiple things like this. There's also this segment of people who are clicking because they're never going to read the fine print because they don't care. The latest thing that's going on is this legislation to ban TikTok. We're going to ban TikTok because of the ByteDance ownership, because of the Chinese government ownership ultimately, and the ability to collect this data and store data. And we have a group of people who have built platforms on TikTok and are generating revenue, and they have businesses that are based on TikTok. They're protesting against this legislation that's going to ban TikTok because it's going to hurt their business.
And we tried to do this 4 years ago in a presidential election year as well. Let's just point that out.
And then if you ban TikTok, that's just going to send more people over to Insta and Facebook. And what's the end result? What are we doing? And there's some apathetic majority that's saying, I don't care, don't take TikTok away. That is relevant to this discussion because there's a bunch of people with IoT appliances, with Wi-Fi enabled stuff. My propane tank, it's Wi-Fi enabled. Do I care? I don't even think I care. I don't know. I don't have my tank set up to be Wi-Fi enabled. I didn't do anything because I thought, you know what? That's just not an app I need on my phone. Like, I actually enjoy walking out the back door around to the side of my house to pick up and open the cover of my tank and go, huh, I've got 75%. Okay. I didn't have to have the app to tell me that, but my propane tank is Wi-Fi capable. I bring that up to say these people who are filing the lawsuits, who are writing the articles at this stage of the game, are the severe minorities who are just yelling really loud. And the rest of us, the overwhelming majority, doesn't care. They don't care if they're being tracked or whatever. And maybe we should. Maybe it's an invasion of privacy. Maybe it's going to shut off all the cars driving down the road one day and nobody's going to be able to move because something happened and we didn't care and read the fine print, and we should have. Fully transparent here. Like, today, I don't really know how I feel about this. I have this really incredible exercise that I do in the morning when I get to the office and in the evening when I leave the office. It's crazy. It's so crazy how difficult it is for me to do this, but I do it. I power through. I reach over. I wouldn't even really call it a reach, because as I go out the door, I have this little toggle looking switch that's next to my door frame, and I push it down if I'm leaving. And when I come in, I can even do it without looking at it. I can toggle it up as well. And then the lights come on. And then when I toggle it down, guess what happens? The lights go off. And I didn't even have to open my phone and enter my code to open up my phone. My phone stayed in my pocket. Is that just the most incredible thing ever?
It is. And there are days in our household that I wish our household was like that. I really do. But it is not. Our household is set up where everything except the refrigerator is on my phone. And we are looking at the Wi-Fi enabled refrigerators because the cute boy wants one so badly. And he loves his technology. He loves the fact that our entire house is primarily on one app. The garage door is on a different app, which I don't quite understand that, but I'm not going there. He loves that our house is set up like this. For me, whatever. There are so many light switches in our house. It really does make my life easier because none of the light switches are where they should be. So it did make it better. But the reason that I really bring this up is how do we respond to our clients? Our clients are seeing articles like this. And even if it's 1 out of 10 that actually reads them, are they thinking, okay, yeah, that's the reason that my rates are being doubled and it's the insurance company's fault? They shouldn't be buying this information. The car company shouldn't be selling this information. Why is this happening? How do we have that conversation with our clients?
I'm going to go back to one of the first things I said, which is we've been doing this with data for decades. This isn't new. Insurance companies have used risk analysis data to analyze risk for years. Let's just focus on telematics with vehicles. They started with the plug your device in, and that fried a few things. So they stopped doing that and they developed the app technology. Everybody's got a telematics option. And if you don't get a telematics option, if you're an insurance company selling auto insurance, and if you don't have that, your risk is you're really falling behind the right rate for risk game, which is the end game. That's all everyone wants to get to, is I need to charge the right rate for the specific risk. But I've just got this blob of information that I don't know what to do with. Buying all that information is great, but that doesn't necessarily give me this specific risk in front of me the right rate. And every insurance company, every actuary, every product manager wants to get to the right rate for risk. That's their goal. The conversation with the customer is, if you just stay on that telematics piece for a minute, it started with you get a discount because we wanted more people to adopt it. So you automatically get, depending on your carrier, 5%, 10% for just doing it. They would have a rate filing, they would have a discount, but you could earn 20% if you're a good driver. Then the companies got smarter as more people started adopting it. And now it can actually hurt your rate, which is what's coming out in some of these articles, is that not in that specific way, but all this data has the risk of actually hurting your price. It's the idea that if you don't have to necessarily subscribe to that thing, but now you're going to, it's going down this path where credit score went down. If you were a no hit back during the heyday of this same argument for why you should or shouldn't use credit to evaluate a risk, if you were a no hit because you wouldn't give your social and you wouldn't allow the agent to enter and run your credit score by not providing your social security number, then you were going to be a no hit, pure and simple, which means they're going to put you into a bucket of risk and rate where you're not going to potentially get the best rate that you qualify for, because they don't know how to rate for you now. When you're the no hit guy, when you're the non-complier, then you're the no hit. Your rate might be 15, 20% higher than it actually could be. That's going to be the same scenario. You can be a non-subscriber, non-complier to this whole process, and you can do this, but you're going to run the risk of even higher rates than if you are actually going down this path with the insurance companies trying to get things better. Now, that is not the way you explain that to answer your question to your customers, because you just went deer in the headlights with them. I got way down in the weeds for a second. My deal here is that you've got to get to some layman's terms. I love the, isn't most of your life connected to anything and everything? Isn't your phone listening to you? There's a reality of this in the world that we now live in that I can help you better as your insurance agent if you allow me to use all the tools that the insurance companies are making available to me. And if you don't want me to use those tools, then that's okay, but I'm probably not going to do you as good of a job as I probably could with those tools. And I like taking things down that path would be my first top of mind thought.
There are 7 pieces of data that are being reported: miles driven, driving frequency, driving duration, time of day, use of onboard electronics like your phone, radio, etc., behavior around hazardous zones, and then GPS data when it comes to specific routes, highway versus back roads, proximity to home, that kind of thing. For me, just having that information, knowing those are the 7 things that they're looking at that are being reported, to be able to tell your customer, hey, this is the data, that's being sent. Then it's not scary anymore. Then it's not, oh my gosh, they're getting all my data. Okay, they're going to find out how often I drive. They're going to find out how long I'm driving. They're going to find out, okay, this is how much time I'm using my phone. So to me, that's the big thing, is give them the information that the car is reporting and start from there.
I like that a lot. I'm the sarcastic old guy now. My first response is, oh, so you don't have social media? But yeah, I have social media. You haven't posted on social media recently? Oh no, I post on social media all the time. The people that are crying foul are also the ones living their life on social media publicly. And I like what Tanya's saying here because it's very specific. Like, these are the data points they want. This is why. The irony of that is three or four of those data points they've been asking years and years. They've just been trusting the insured to be honest with them, which isn't always a workable solution. So what they're doing is they're saying, instead of you telling me based on your zip code, based on how far you say you drive, like one of the questions forever was, do you drive pleasure only or do you drive to and from work? When they added what's your occupation to the application question, then you couldn't say pleasure. Your occupation is, I'm an engineer. Okay. Then how far do you drive to and from work? Oh, I don't. I'm pleasure. That had to get blown up with COVID and remote work. And now you may not drive to and from work. You may drive pleasure only. And so now what we used to ask the customer to tell us, and air quotes, be honest about, is how far do they drive to work? What's their rough annual mileage that they drive? Where do they live? What kind of vehicle do they drive? All of these things that we've been asking the customer to tell us, we're now just getting from a source that's going to tell us that. But we're also doing that in property insurance with publicly available data. And the real irony of the people complaining at times about, oh my gosh, people are looking at data, or people have my data, is the reality that either the public data sources that you had no control over already sold your data, or you gave them that by whatever means, social media, information that you put out there in the public domain. That's the irony of some of this. And I know that gets down to you didn't read the fine print, but some of that stuff doesn't even have fine print. Some of that stuff is just out of your control today. And if people really wanted to get a hold of stuff, they could. We have these tools in the industry now where if I subscribe to the right technology, I really only need about three questions to quote your auto and home insurance. I can get the rest of the stuff if you give me permission to get it. That's this movement that maybe the journalists are trying to attack. And the reality of it is we've actually been using that same data for years. We've just been relying on the insured to tell us on a one-by-one basis instead of a mass basis.
We've talked telematics, which we don't ever want to use that word when we're talking with clients, because again, that's insurance speak. I never even knew that was a thing except for a commercial about 20 years ago. Was it the Progressive Snapshot?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So. I pulled that one. There we go. Yeah. So I remember the commercials for that. I remember it being a challenge because it like fried some batteries or something because it plugged into your car. But I do see this as a slightly different thing because it's coming from the car manufacturers. I see where the media has the opportunity to take this and have a bit of a heyday, because if it's me using Progressive's app, that's my having control over it. Whereas if it is General Motors selling my information and making money off my data, that's something totally different. I get why this is a thing, because if I am using the Safeco telematics, then Safeco isn't necessarily selling my data and making money off of me. Or maybe they are, I don't know. But if they are, I don't have that information. But I see where the challenge is with the selling of the data to LexisNexis, to orgs like that, and it causing car insurance rates to go up or down, or it causes other things to go up or down. I see the point. I see why people are upset.
I'll play the devil's advocate here. Is it a right that a person has to own a car?
Of course not.
So if you choose to buy a car from a manufacturer that collects a Wi-Fi enabled car that collects your data and sells it, is that something that is a right? Let's back up for a second and say, are there no vehicles available on the market for non-Wi-Fi enabled cars that are not going to send the data to third parties? And is it this situation where, from a societal standpoint, we go to this, it's my right. It's my right to own that car, or it's my right to do this. Is it a right to own a vehicle, or is it a privilege to own a vehicle? And if it's a privilege, then you have a choice to buy a vehicle or not buy a vehicle, or you have a choice to buy a certain type of vehicle. And then if all the vehicles in the marketplace are 100% Wi-Fi enabled, and there is a group of people who say, wait a minute, I don't want that type of vehicle. I want a vehicle that isn't Wi-Fi enabled. Then will not the marketplace respond to that by saying there's not enough of you, sorry, or there is enough of you and there's a market for that, and we're going to build an alternative that doesn't have Wi-Fi enabled vehicles? What happens on the backside, the assumption is that it is a right to own that vehicle, but then you want to tell the person you bought the vehicle from that they can't do what their vehicle was designed to do.
One of the things that I find interesting about all of this is that it's coming to light right as AT&T is really launching their in-car Wi-Fi wireless internet service campaign. Like, they've had this for some time, but in the past few months, they've really started a major push for it. They obviously feels that this is a huge future revenue source. Whether I'm seeing that as a marketing person or they're completely separate, it is what it is. But having Wi-Fi in the car, being affordable, is becoming a big push.
Because we want our Netflix while we're driving down the road.
Because why would you have a conversation with your spouse in the front seat when, you know, you could watch Bridgerton?
It's a marketplace demand. Why is AT building this? Why are they investing gazillions of dollars, marketing it, making it a push? Look, AT&T is not led by stupid people. AT&T has a bunch of intelligent people. And sometimes intelligent people make bad product decisions. New Coke comes to mind. Multiple companies have done it. I'm not saying it's not possible. But these companies don't push something that they don't believe is going to be successful. So it takes us back to who is the complainer. And I'm just not sure that it's the overall marketplace as a whole. It just feels like the pot stirrers that sometimes takes us down these paths, and we spend a ton of energy on things. And then the influence of the greater population comes from these few loud yellers of things. And why is AT&T pushing this? Because obviously the marketplace is asking for it. There must be a demand for it. Or they will waste gazillions of dollars and they will backtrack and they will do something different. There are going to be the collateral scenarios. People are going to look, that's a byproduct. Can we sell that data? Of course, LexisNexis is in the data business, and what should they do with it, and how do they use that to drive revenue? And man, it is exhausting. And it's one of those things that brings me back to, why is the independent agency valuable? It's because we are going to end up being the consultative advisors. We are going to be the ones seeking solutions for our clients. And if you happen to be in a marketplace and your clientele is heavily dominated by people who do not want their data shared, well, then design your agency, book a business and carrier portfolio around that type of situation. There will always be marketplace alternatives and solutions, because a marketplace will drive demand. And when that happens, there's solutions and profits to be earned through those solutions.
Just like our house. I never imagined having a house where all of the lights were controlled by my phone. But whenever the electrician, or whatever we want to call the person, wired this house, he didn't think about the fact that the light switches for the rooms should be in the rooms where the lights are. And I have no idea why any electrician would think that the light switches for room A should be not in room B, but in room C. Something is wrong with that idea. But we found a solution. We made the investment in a solution because there was something that wasn't convenient for us. And it's the exact same thing within our industry.
I agree. There are solutions created to problems that arise. And you have this ability to solve the problem without rewiring the entire house, which would be really expensive. But there's a different way to go about this. And you have a technology advantaged husband who knows what he's doing, that likes being in the technology realm. And so there's a solution for that. The same thing's going to happen. I agree with you. There's going to be some of this that transpires as we have more and more carriers trying to figure this out. We have more and more data coming at us. Just because we have more data doesn't know that we actually know how to use that data profitably. That's the other thing that I feel like is happening. I really feel like there's a point in time coming where some car manufacturer is going to start producing some kind of no-frills vehicle, because the price of vehicles have gotten so high. So we're talking about Wi-Fi enabled sharing, selling your data. I'm waiting for somebody to come out with the roll your window up manually, no keyless entry, got to put the key in the door. I'm waiting for that car or truck to come back out onto the market at some price point that totally disrupts the fact that you can't buy a full-size pickup truck in Texas right now for less than $65,000 or $70,000.
Shane is bringing back the gremlin.
Yeah, there's a point where more and more, and that's probably where consumer exhaustion might get to. I know there's always going to be the majority of the market that's going to want their frills. They're going to want their touch screens and their heated seats and their stuff that they get used to. But there's another segment of the market that's, I don't really want to pay for that. And I'll buy this other thing. And so that's what happens in marketplaces where things become so overpriced that you just start to question whether the cost benefit's there.
I'm going to leave us today with this quote from Carl Lewis. My thoughts before a big race are usually pretty simple. I tell myself, get out of the blocks, run your race, stay relaxed. If you run your race, you'll win. Channel your energy and focus.
Attitude's a choice. Make a great one.
Bye, y'all.
Ready to get the ball rolling with your independent agency? Learn more at IntegraAgent.com. That's IntegraAgent.com. Thank you for joining us on IA Forward. Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now, or learn more at IAForward.com.